This is Steve Coleman with your Daily Inspiration. What is the greatest fear that we should have in our Christian life? I don't know the answer to that exactly, but I know one of the things that we should be very afraid of is that we would receive not a love of the truth. And in not loving truth, that God would send strong delusion, that we should believe a lie. And I don't know exactly how that whole mechanism works, but this is true. What comes out of that passage of Scripture is that if we don't passionately love the truth, there is a sense that we can be deluded, that we can believe something so firmly that it actually ends up leading us astray. And there's something in God's economy where if we don't receive that love of the truth, then something ends up happening and we end up going astray. So what is truth? It's interesting. Pilate asked that question. He looked at Jesus and he said, "What is truth?" And Jesus already had spoken, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And, you know, the truth, to love the truth is to love the very essence of God, right? God is truth, one of the characteristics of God. But Jesus Christ is the truth. And so over these last few days, if you remember, we started by looking at that which was very good, and then we looked at that which was bad and which canceled out the good, and then we began to look at what was the solution to return to that very good relationship, that return to Eden. And if you remember, we turned our eyes upon Christ, and in turning away from the world and looking to Christ, we start to see the solution. And then if you remember, we called on the name of the Lord. And there's something about calling on the name of the Lord in every situation that brings Christ into a proximity, brings us into a proximity with Christ. And I just find that to be a blessing, that if we consider, we do exactly what the Scripture says, which is to be anxious for nothing or careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving to let our requests be made known unto God, then truly the peace of God will keep our hearts, that passes all understanding, will keep our hearts and minds through Christ. And so it does happen that as we call on Christ, that the very presence of Christ, the very real presence of Christ, we begin to sense. Now, what we'd like to have for our inspiration today is, how does that work? What actually happens? And the beloved, this is the mystery. This is one of these mysteries of the Christian faith that proves to me that Scripture, what everything we read is real and right. And that is that it's the opposite of that strong delusion. It's the opposite. So what begins to happen is that the Spirit of God begins to dwell within the believer, and he guides us. And so I have it here in John chapter 16 and verse 13. It says, "Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come." Jesus is speaking of the Spirit of truth. So this Spirit of truth, in one sense, is not Christ. In another, it is. We know the Spirit of God to be God in a form, and Jesus to be God in a form. And so, in one sense, he's speaking of the Spirit in a third person, but he is speaking of himself. But one thing we know is that the Spirit of God never lifts himself up. He always points to who? Truth, and that is Christ. And so there's something about knowing Christ and walking with Christ. You know, it's all about Christ. It's on Christ the solid rock I stand. My hope is built on nothing less but Jesus' blood and Christ's righteousness, right? It is all about Christ. And then what happens? So we've turned our eyes and we've called on the name of the Lord, and now what happens is the Spirit of truth is come, and he begins to guide us into all truth. Beloved, there's our protection from that fear that I might have had of, well, how do I know that I'm not going to begin to believe a lie and be led astray by strong delusion? I look around and I see so many that have received the spirit of delusion, and the reason is because they've not received the love of Christ. It's a love of a form. It's a love of something other than Christ. It's a love of a system. It's a love of a culture. It's a love of a form, whatever you want to call it. But it's not a passion. It's not a singular, the word is homothumodon, and that's that singular passion for Christ. It's not a singular passion for Christ, but and so it's not a love of the truth, and it can lead to a delusion. And so many people, beloved, are stuck, so many souls are lost, are deluded, because they've not seen, they've not turned their eyes, they've not fallen in love with Jesus Christ, and the Spirit of God hasn't dwelt within them. So there we saw in John, we saw that he will guide into all truth. Now let me read you a couple of passages here from 1 John chapter 3, verse 9. It says, "Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin." Does that scare you, beloved? Have you ever committed sin after you thought you've been born again? But listen to this, "For his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God." All right, I think the last half of that verse explains the first half. And what we have here is that what happens is it's possible to make a point sin, you know, if you want to call it a failure, whatever you want to call it. But what happens is when the seed, that truth that now dwells within us and guides us into all truth, when that seed remains in us, now, can we grieve away the Spirit of God? Absolutely. Will we then not sense the conviction? Absolutely. That's called a seared conscience, you know. But as long as we tenderly nurture our relationship, we call on the name of the Lord, you know, we're calling on Jesus. Calling on Jesus is the Spirit, you know. It's Christ. It's the same Spirit that indwelled Christ, that indwells us, that indwells God, I and you and me. That's what Christ meant when he said that, when he prayed that. He prayed that they would be one, and that oneness is the oneness of the Spirit of God. And so, this is what this verse is saying. This, beloved, is the essence of Christianity. If you don't have this, you don't have it. It's not, you didn't quite get all the way there. Maybe you turned your eyes upon Jesus, and maybe you began to call on the name of the Lord. But, you know, the walk in the garden, if you will, to return back to Eden, what it is, it's the presence of the Holy Spirit guiding us into all truth. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4 says, "Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." So, beloved, we know that the devil is in the world. We know that the enemy is there, and he seeks whom he may devour and destroy. But you overcome because you have nurtured this relationship with the Spirit of God who is now in us. And so the marvelous thing is, if you think about it, we've come full circle back to where we began. When the soul, God formed man out of the dust of the earth, out of the clay of the ground, formed he him, male and female formed he them, you know, and I just think that God was very creative, and he formed them in the image and likeness of God, and you know, he took the clay and he did this, and then it says he breathed into the nostrils of the man, and the man became a living soul, right? And then taking part of the man created the woman, and that living soul had the indwelling Spirit of God. And there was that communion, there was that ability to make the connection with God. Now, beloved, that's going to affect every area of your life. It's going to affect how you think. It's going to affect your values. It's going to affect how you pray, beloved. If you find that your prayers are dry and you don't make a connection with God, then I say this, you need to learn how to call on the name of the Lord and be being continually filled with the Spirit of God. This is not something to be fearful of. This is the purpose that Jesus Christ, he said, it was expedient that I go, because if I don't go, you won't receive this gift. This is the gift that now enables us to begin to make that connection back with God. Now we're communing with God again. Now we're the living soul. This is restoration. This is what salvation is all about, is that now we've received of the Spirit of God. So he cannot sin because his seed remaineth in him. You know, what happens is the Spirit of God says, no, don't do that. That's, you can't do that. And it's a gentle, but you know what? It's a directive that we say, I so value my relationship with God that it's not grievous at all, right? So that's my encouragement for us here in the Daily Inspiration, is that we need to be grateful and seek after this relationship that came by Christ's death on the cross, his action on the cross, his willingness to give his life a ransom. And then we are able to receive the Spirit of God. Let us not devalue the Spirit of God and say, oh, that is of no value. Beloved, it is of the ultimate value in God's eyes. In God's eyes, in order for us to receive the Spirit of God, he sent his only begotten Son. Do you see? That was the reason for Christ's sacrifice on the cross, was so that we could receive the Spirit, so that we could be living souls once again. See, a living soul is nothing more or less than a soul indwelt by the Spirit of God. Once the Spirit of God leaves, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. And it does die. And, beloved, we don't want to leave this earthly tabernacle, leave this fleshly body, and not have a soul that has an indwelling presence of the Spirit of God. You know, if our soul is clean enough and is washed in the blood of the Lamb and is filled with the Spirit of God, there's not a question of standing before the throne of God and waiting for a decision. That decision has been made, beloved, and that Spirit is returning, and that Spirit is rejoicing, and that's the graduation, if you will, from seeing things through a glass darkly to seeing more clearly. We will be rejoicing, beloved. That's what it comes down to. I'm afraid that the Great White Throne Judgment will have too high of a population, and what it'll be is people whose spirit is not ready, who are not filled with the Spirit of God. So, the inspiration today, be being continually filled by the Holy Spirit. So God bless you. Thank you for joining us here on the Fountain of Life. And we do look forward to hearing from you. If you'd like to make a response to any of these inspirations, go ahead and choose in the main menu and use mailbox 99, and you can leave a message. So God bless you.